All right, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. We better get moving here because I've got a lot to cover and a lot of reading, and you'll just have to bear with me here as we go through this. I know it's a lot of reading and everything, but it's important that you understand this because now, let me tell you this. Here's the thing, okay? If you are planning on going to live in a box somewhere, then this won't matter to you. If you are planning on hiding out like you're Amish somewhere, or Mennonite, and go hide in the mountains somewhere, go hide in the woods somewhere, and never come out, then none of this will really matter to you. But if you are going to engage a lost and dying world, if you're going to be out there and dealing with sinners, if you're going to be out there and disputing with those that are instructing those that oppose themselves, then you're going to have to know something. You're going to have to understand where these people are coming from and what they believe. Also, you're going to have to show them the deception, okay, and how they are deceived, and show them by their own writings how they are deceived. And a lot of these messages, I really believe, are more like, they're more like an encyclopedia of learning for you to be able to go back and take that file and be like, well, let me listen to this again. Let me give this to somebody else. Listen to this. Or go back, you know, I wish we had everything on PDF file. And some of this stuff I could, but I don't really print out a lot of this stuff. I'm working on a scanner right now that scans everything, but I haven't got that down yet. If I had it where it was scannable, then what I, you know, and I could provide it for you in a PDF file, I would do that. But unfortunately, some of these, it's not like that. I've got to read from some of these books for sake of time. This alone already took me many hours to go through to study this. I mean, yesterday and today for most of the day, I spent studying this and going through a lot of this material. Because, you know, we talked about the Mormon church before. We talked about the occultism of Mormonism. We talked about the necromancy. We talked about the spiritism in Mormonism. We talked about how Joseph Smith was a Masonic witch. And he was an astrological witch, and how he was Masonic. And when you start to understand who this man really is, and in the foundation of Mormonism, as we've already tackled, and I believe we've already destroyed that foundation, but now we're going to move on to who is this, who is the Mormon Jesus? When everybody says Jesus, is it the same Jesus that you're talking about? If there's anything that I've tried to teach you over the last few years is that you must understand that not everyone that says Jesus is speaking of the Jesus of the Bible. They are not always representing the Christ of the Bible. And what happens is that you become you become like modern day America here in evangelical America, where basically everybody says Jesus, everybody is saved, or everybody believes the same Jesus you do, or everybody believes in the Jesus of the Bible, and that's not true. They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. Most of them don't. When they say Jesus, you think they mean the same thing. When Glenn Beck says Jesus, most Americans, most evangelical Americans believe that he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible. That's what they believe. They believe he's talking about Jesus. Yeah, he's a Christian. Glenn Beck's a Christian. Mormons are Christians. No, they're not. In order to be a Christian, you've got to have the Christ of the Bible. Man. They don't have the Christ of the Bible. They have another Christ, another gospel. And we're going to talk about tonight here, we're going to talk about the Mormon Jesus. Because the Mormon Jesus is the Jesus of the Da Vinci Code. That's who it is. You say, I don't know what the Da Vinci Code is. Well, we'll get into that. I'll explain a little bit to you. Not too much, because I don't have time, but we'll move along as fast as we can here. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we need you, and we pray you'd bless us now. Help us understand this great truth from your word. Lord, as we look at the true Christ in the Word of God, who is the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And Lord, as we look, then we look at, Lord, this false Christ of Mormonism, this Masonic Christ, this Da Vinci Code, false, esoteric, wicked, false Christ, Lord. May we understand and be able to discern these things, I pray. Lord, please just be with us now and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 23, that if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. You know, if any man says, here is Christ, or there is Christ, believe it not. Just because they say it's Jesus doesn't mean you should believe it. You better look and see if it's from the Bible. You better look and see if it's the Jesus from the Word of God. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 31, I thought it noteworthy here, the Bible says, "For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." Their rock is not our rock, amen? Not at all. Not at all. You know, Mormonism without a doubt has another Christ, another Jesus, and let it be accursed. Amen? Let all who preach it be damned and accursed, unless they repent and believe in the Jesus of the Bible. We live in dark, deceptive, wicked times. And one of the problems that we see here is that everybody that hears Jesus, they automatically fall for it. The devil is too smart to try to erase the name of Jesus. It's not going to happen. He's not going to do that. So what he's going to do is change the definition and change the person himself into somebody that's not Christ, but into Antichrist. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's always done. He'll not attempt to erase those names at all. Mormonism does just that. It just misrepresents who the Lord Jesus Christ is and puts up a false Christ. Now, as we get into this, there's a lot of reading, but it's important that you understand this. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20, I want you to turn there to see who the real Christ is. Because number one, the Mormon Christ was not virgin born by the Holy Ghost. That's important to understand. The Mormon Christ, which I'm going to show you, was not virgin born by the Holy Ghost. No. But let me show you what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, that Mary was conceived with child by the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say that it was any other way. But Mormonism, what does Mormonism teach about that? Well, it's interesting. Mormonism teaches some scary things about that. And I'm going to read you a few of those scary things. Unfortunately, I have to. And they're kind of scary. All right. Now remember from this time forth and forever that Jesus was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. If the Son was begotten by the Holy Ghost, it would be very dangerous to baptize and confirm females and give the Holy Ghost to them, lest he should beget children to be palmed upon the elders by the people, bringing the elders into great difficulties. What in the world did that mean? What he's saying is that if ladies get the Holy Ghost through baptism, so they baptize them and they get the Holy Ghost, then they're going to be impregnated. They're going to have children. They're going to conceive and have children of the Holy Ghost. So in other words, the Holy Ghost couldn't have conceived or couldn't have overshadowed Mary or overpowered Mary or whatever. That couldn't have happened. Thus, Mormons today accept the virgin birth of Jesus Christ to have been accomplished through physical intercourse between God and Mary. But they deny that God was Adam, sometimes. Nevertheless, because sexuality is actually an attribute of God, and God is a procreating personage of flesh and bone, Latter-day prophets have made it clear that despite what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20, the Holy Ghost was not the father of Jesus. In Doctrines of Salvation, the 10th Mormon president and prophet Joseph Fielding Smith taught Christ was begotten of God. He was not born without the aid of man, and that man was God. Theologian McConkie declares this: Christ was begotten by an immortal father in the same way that mortal men are begotten by mortal fathers. Okay, now are you sensing something here? Are you getting it? I mean, I absolutely believe that Mormonism is the largest satanically witch-led sex cult there ever was. That's what Mormonism is. It is an absolute perverted cult of fornicating behavior. That's what it is. The current president and prophet of the Mormon Church, this was back a few years ago, Ezra Taft Benson, also believes that God the Father had physical intercourse with Mary. The paternity of Jesus Christ is one of the mysteries of godliness, comprehended only by the spiritually minded. An ancient Mormon prophet had a vision. He saw Mary and described her as a virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. He then saw her carried away in the spirit for the space of a time. When she returned, she was bearing a child in her arms, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Sound like alien abductions, doesn't it? Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the most literal sense, he says. The body in which he performed his mission in the flesh was sired by that same holy being we worship as God, our eternal Father. Jesus was not the son of Joseph, nor was he begotten by the Holy Ghost. He is the Son of the Eternal Father. Do you see what mass confusion they cause? And what they're saying there? How they're mixing things up and changing things? Brigham Young stated this, "The man Joseph, the husband of Mary, did not, that we know of, have more than one wife. But Mary, the wife of Joseph, had another husband, i.e. God." Do you understand what they're saying? They're saying that the Holy Father in heaven, God Almighty on the throne, while Mary was espoused to Joseph, came and had a physical union with her and created and had the child. And yes, they believe that God is a polygamist. Mormons believe that Mary had to be the legitimate wife of God, of course. Otherwise, even God would have been guilty of adultery. In October of 1853, the apostle Orson Pratt was more than frank, freely confessing that God himself is not bound by the moral laws he gave to men on adultery. For instance, the father and mother of Jesus, according to the flesh, must have been associated together in the capacity of husband and wife. Hence, the Virgin Mary must have been, for the time being, the lawful wife of God the Father. Still think this is the same Jesus? It would have been unlawful for any man to have interfered with Mary, who was already espoused to Joseph, and for such heinous crimes would have subjected both the guilty parties to death, according to the law of Moses. But God, having created all men and women, had the most perfect right to do with his own creation according to his holy will and pleasure. He had a lawful right to overshadow the Virgin Mary in the capacity of a husband and beget a son. Although she was espoused to another, for the law which he gave to govern men and women was not intended to govern himself or to prescribe rules for his conduct. It was also lawful in him, after thus dealt with Mary, to give her to Joseph as her espoused husband. Inasmuch as God was the first husband to her, it may be that he only gave her to be the wife of Joseph while in this mortal state, and that he intended after the resurrection to again take her as one of his own wives to raise up immortal spirits in eternity. So what in the world are they talking about exactly? But this is the Jesus that they believe. Do you understand that? But see, the problem is when Mormons come up, and by the way, most Mormons that come up to Baptists destroy Baptists. They don't know what to say to them. Because Baptists know nothing about what they're talking about. And they make it sound really good. And most Baptists don't know a thing. So everything that they make it sound like, hey, it sounds great. So Baptists, they don't know what to say to them. They don't have an answer for them. They can't give them an answer at all. So they say, oh, you believe in Jesus? We believe in Jesus. Ah, but which Jesus do you believe in? Is it the one that God the Father personally came down and had an affair with Mary? A physical affair? Brigham Young wrote this, When the time came that his firstborn, the Savior, should come into the world and take a tabernacle body, the Father came himself and favored that spirit with a tabernacle instead of letting any other man do it. And that is all the organic difference between Jesus Christ and you and me. If you see the and understand these things, it will be by the Spirit of God. You will receive them by no other spirit. See what I mean? So if you don't believe in our weird cult here, then you don't have the Spirit of God. See how that works? Yeah, Brigham Young was quite the pervert. Well, they all were. Anyway, but yeah. Brigham Young said this too, and I want to read you a little bit more here. My next sermon will be both to saint and sinner. One thing has remained a mystery in this kingdom up to this day. It is in regard to the character of the well-beloved Son of God, upon which subject the elders of Israel have conflicting views. The question has been and is often asked, who it was that begat the Son of the Virgin Mary? I will tell you how it is. Our Father in heaven begat all the spirits that ever were or ever will be upon this earth, and they were born spirits in the eternal world. Then the Lord, by his power and wisdom, organized the mortal tabernacle of man. We were made first spiritual and afterwards temporal. Where do you find that in the Bible? You don't, do you? No, they don't use that. Now hear it, O inhabitants of the earth, Jew and Gentile, saint and sinner. When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. One of his wives. Well, who was the other one? Lilith? He helped to make and organize this world. He is Michael, the archangel, the Ancient of Days, upon whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our Father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. Adam's your God? We'll talk about that on Sunday, maybe. Every man upon the earth, professing Christians or non-professing, must hear it and will know it sooner or later. When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. And who is this Father? He is the first of the human family. And when he took a tabernacle, it was begotten by his Father in heaven. After the same manner, the tabernacles of Cain and Abel and the rest of the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden. Really? Where does it say that in the Bible? Doesn't. And who is our Father in heaven? So he's saying Adam is the Father in heaven. Now let all who may hear these doctrines pause before they make light of them. Brother Paul, pause before you make light of these. I know, Brother Paul, you're about ready to make light of these. And I just want you to pause only for a second. That's long enough. Okay. Or treat them with indifference. Whoops. For they will prove their salvation or damnation. Now remember from this time forth and forever that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourse, 1, 50 through 51. Well, that seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? That they don't believe in the same Jesus as you do they? Sure doesn't seem like that's the same Christ. Listen to this one, and this, by the way, this is 100 years later in 1973. I want you to listen to this. Because Mormons will try to tell you, we don't believe that. No, we don't believe that all that stuff. No, okay, well, let's hear their apostle. Their apostle, Elder Richard said this. Describing an experience he once had in the mission field, Elder Richards told of speaking to a large gathering of clergymen. I explained to them the difference between Reformation and Restoration, Elder Richards said. Then, when I finished my remarks, one of them stood up and said, Mr. Richards, we've been told you believe God had a wife. Would you please explain this? I think he thought he had me, said Elder Richards. The audience in the tabernacle began to chuckle. I retorted that I didn't see how God could have a son if he didn't have a wife. The tabernacle audience chuckle grew to a full roar of laughter as Elder Richards turned to President Harold B. Lee, seated near the podium, to ask him if this was a proper answer. President Lee nodded. So you're telling me 100 years later, your apostle, your president get up there and they say, hey, How could he have a son if he didn't have a wife? Does this sound like the same Jesus? Doesn't. Not at all, does it? Yeah, I don't think it's the same one. Here's another one for you. Brigham Young said this too. The man Joseph, the husband of Mary, did not, that we know of, have more than one wife. But Mary, the wife of Joseph, had another husband. That very babe that was cradled in the manger was begotten not by Joseph, the husband of Mary, but by another being. Do you inquire by whom? He was begotten by God, our heavenly Father. The Savior comes to the Father, the Ancient of Days, and presents to the Father the kingdoms of this world, all in a saved condition, except the sons of perdition. And he says, here, Father, here they are, and I with them. Then he is prepared to go forth and fulfill and fill up his kingdom. And so he goes on. He mentions Adam again. He says, Father Adam's oldest son, Jesus, the Savior, who is the heir of the family, is Father Adam's first begotten in the spirit world, who according to the flesh is the only begotten, as it is written. In his divinity, he having gone back into the spirit world and come into the spirit of Mary, and she conceived, for when Adam and Eve got through with their work in this earth, they did not lay their bodies down in the dust, but returned to the spirit from whence they come. Wait a minute. So you have to understand something with Mormons. They just keep making babies. I don't mean here, I mean there, like in space, and like we'll talk about different planets and stuff, but I mean anyway, they believe they keep making spirit babies. So like, yeah, I know. Stop laughing, Brother Bicey, they really believe it. They believe that like once they leave this earth, they just go off into space and then they have babies up there and they keep having babies. And they just keep having spirit babies, and I don't think they ever stop having spirit babies. It doesn't make sense to me either. But that's what they believe. Now, I'm almost done with this section here. There's a lot here. I got to hurry. Let's see here. Yeah. I want to show you something here real quick. Bear with me here, folks. I know it's a lot of reading, but I want you to understand some of this stuff. So you have all the facts that you need, and you can back it up. You can give somebody this sermon. They can listen to it. They can take it home and say, listen, these are from their own books. This is from their own writings. And they can understand it, and they can see the truth of it. And maybe they'll get saved out of this mess. Amen? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? All right. Let's see. I did that. Okay. Five. Let me see. Oh, that's the wrong one. This one, sorry. Page 125 here. All right. 129, here we go. Here we go. Here's a few more quotes here that kind of sink this in a little bit for you. 7, 8, and 9 here. The birth of the Savior was as natural as are the births of our children. It was the result of natural action. He partook of the flesh and blood, was begotten of his Father, as we were of our fathers. Really? Did the Holy Ghost overshadow the womb of your mother, and that's how you got here? No. That's not how you got here. So, is the birth of your child the same as when Jesus came? Is that the same Jesus? What is he doing? He's destroying the virgin birth. Listen to me very clearly. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you're not saved. If you don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you are a lost sinner on your way to hell. Plain and simple. Number 8 here, he says this, in relation to the way in which I look upon the works of God and his creatures, I will say that I was naturally begotten, so was my Father, and also my Savior Jesus Christ. According to the Scriptures, he is the first begotten of his Father in the flesh, and there was nothing unnatural about it. Heber Kimball, Journal of Discourse. Really? I think there was something quite unnatural about it, don't you? I think it was supernatural. Anyway. So we see the examples here that the Jesus of Mormonism is not the Jesus of the Bible. Is this Jesus that is found in the King James Bible? the one that was not begotten of the Holy Ghost? Does your Jesus have a father that came down to Mary while she was espoused to a man, Joseph, and had relations with her? Think about that. How could it even remotely be the same one? But they will play off this and they will get you. Mormons will make you believe that they're talking about the same one. Glenn Beck is a master at doing it. He does it to, I see Christians that are friends with Glenn Beck all the time on Facebook and other things that they support Glenn Beck. And they don't, why? Is Glenn Beck a Christian? No, he's not a Christian. But they follow it. Why? Because he says Jesus. And he goes to church just like you do. I mean, he's just like you. No, he's not. He's nothing like you. If you believe in this Bible, he's nothing like you. Number two, the Jesus of Mormonism was a married polygamist. Yeah. Did the Jesus of the Bible have any children? Did he have multiple wives? How about the Jesus of Mormonism? Who is that? Well, it's the Jesus of the Da Vinci Code and all the esoteric religions and all those that have tried to destroy who the real Jesus is from the Bible and all those that would try to distort who Christ is. Listen to me, friend. It's important because if you do not understand who Jesus Christ is, you do not have salvation. Amen. If you believe in a false Christ, you will die and go to hell. Right. Whatever name you call him, doesn't matter. If he's not the one found in this book, and it's not faith in Christ, of Christ, in this book, then you have the wrong Jesus. And they can say whatever they want, but remember what Jesus warned about, didn't it? Don't you? He said many false Christs would arise. And we see them. And how many people are following a false Christ today? Think about it. All right, we're going to look in the maze of Mormonism here. I'm going to show you some things here. What they believe. They say that Jesus was married. It's kind of scary, isn't it? How come the Bible never... Do you ever remember reading in the Bible, Jesus being married of you? No. Well, the Mormons believe that this was his wedding, so I'm going to show you what they believe here. Their Jesus got married. It will be borne in the mind that once on a time, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And on a careful reading of that transaction, it will be discovered that no less a person than Jesus Christ was married on that occasion. If he was never married, his intimacy with Mary and Martha, and the other Mary also whom Jesus loved, must have been highly unbecoming and improper to say the best of it. Wait a minute. Okay, so where do you get in the Bible? Where do you get in the Bible? A careful reading. I just want to make sure that's on, okay? A careful reading of the account of the marriage of Cana? What? Wait. I've read that a lot, okay? And I have not seen anywhere where that was Jesus getting married anywhere in that text or the context of that even. I wasn't careful enough, I guess. So he says, hey, if Jesus was never married, what's going on with that intimacy with Mary and Martha? And the other Mary. Whoa, you saying he had three women now? So the Jesus of Mormonism is a gigolo. Yeah. He's a straight pimp. Right? Mary. That's what he is. Come on, folks. I don't know how to be any more plainer than what I am. And I can't change. And I'm going to tell you something. This Jesus is a pimp. I will venture to say that if Jesus Christ were now to pass through the most pious countries in Christendom with a train of women, such as used to follow him, fondling about him, combing his hair, anointing him with precious ointment, washing his feet with tears and wiping them with the hair of their heads, and unmarried or even married, he would be mobbed, tarred, and feathered, and rode not on an ass, but on a rail. At this doctrine, the long-faced hypocrite and the sanctimonious bigot will probably cry blasphemy. Object not, therefore, too strongly against the marriage of Christ, says Brigham Young in his Journal of Discourses. You bigots, what's the matter with you? Don't you know every man's supposed to have four or five wives? Okay. So Orson Hyde, what a name. He said this, in his discourses. I discover that some of the Eastern papers represent me as a great blasphemer because I said in my lecture on marriage at our last conference that Jesus Christ was married at Cana of Galilee, that Mary, Martha, and others were his wives, and that he begat children. All that I have to say in reply to that charge is this. They worship a Savior that is too pure and holy to fulfill the commands of his Father. I worship one that is just pure and holy enough to fulfill all righteousness. Not only the righteous law of baptism, but the still more righteous and important law to multiply and replenish the earth. Startle not at this. Oh, why would we? For even the Father himself honored that law by coming down to Mary with a natural body and begetting a son. And if Jesus begat children, he only did that which he had seen his Father do. Are you getting this? I mean, do you get why this is important? This is who they say. So the next time some Mormon comes up, some elder that's 12, comes up to you. Mormon elder. Hi, I'm a Mormon elder. What are you, 12? Don't you have to shave first before you get to be an elder? Does the training wheels come off your bike first or what? Anyway. I'm sorry, I can't take it. It's just too much. When Mary of old came to the sepulcher on the first day of the week, instead of finding Jesus, she saw two angels in white, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, or husband. Now, I know I've read that a lot, Brother Paul, and that ain't in the King James Bible. And I know not where they have laid him. I'm looking for my husband. Didn't say that. The grand reason of the burst of public sentiment in anathemas upon Christ and his disciples causing his crucifixion was evidently based... are you ready? Hey, are you listening? Listen to me. I know you thought Jesus Christ died for sins, right? You thought he died because he blasphemed God, right? That's why you thought he died, right? You thought, no, listen, the Mormons have the answer, they think, here. They said this is why Jesus Christ died. It was evidently based upon polygamy. A belief in the doctrine of the plurality of wives caused the persecution of Jesus and his followers. We might almost think they were Mormons. Jedediah Grant, Journal of Discourse. They're so persecuted. I mean, I don't know why anybody objected to them going into towns and stealing everybody's wives. I don't. Yep. Anyway, okay, good stuff there. Wow. Anyway, isn't that something? What page am I on here? I'm going to lose my train of thought here. Excuse me. All right. Okay, 120. Up, 129. We're going to move forward here. One here. I got that already. Okay, good. Got you covered there. Okay, Deckers, I want to show you something else about this. This is interesting because, see, here's the thing. Oh, Deckers, wrong one. Decker has written a lot of books on Mormonism and cults and stuff like that. So he has some good things to say. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but he's got some good things in here about that. And one thing he covers, and I think he does a good job with it actually in this, is he compares the Jesus of the Hollywood Jesus in the movies and the Jesus of the Bible, and he shows you that, wait a minute now, that's the same Jesus the Mormons are pushing. It's the same exact Jesus. So what is the script here? The script says to Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, I've done a lot of wrong things. This is the Hollywood movie, The Last Temptation of Christ. You can liken it to modern day times. Why don't we just liken it to Dan Brown's books, The Da Vinci Code, was it The Lost Symbol? Is that a couple other ones that he wrote? You know, basically the bloodlines of Christ, that Christ has children and, you know, all these other things. Well, anyway, so some of the movie script goes like this. Jesus says to Judas, No, I don't have any pride. I don't go to synagogue. I disobey the commands. I work on the Sabbath. Judas says, And who will pay for your sins? Jesus says, I don't know. I'm struggling. Yeah. What does the Mormon Jesus say? Listen to this. As far as this life is concerned, it appears that he had to start just as all other children do and gain his knowledge line upon line. Without a doubt, Jesus came into the world subject to the same conditions as was required of each of us. He forgot everything and he had to grow from grace to grace. Joseph Fielding Smith, Doctrines of Salvation. Christ worked out his own salvation. Do you believe that? Yeah, he should be afraid to write that, shouldn't he? But he's not. All right, who's this Mormon Jesus? According to the AFA Journal, the story was Jesus marrying Mary Magdalene and allowing his guardian angel to watch while Jesus and Magdalene engaged in the marriage bed. In other dialogue, Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, "Now I know a woman is God's greatest work, and I worship you. I'm not going to repeat that. Anyway, after Magdalene dies, Jesus moves on with Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, and has children by them. Well, that was the script, okay, for the temptation of Christ? All right? Yeah, I can't even repeat some of the things. It's just not right to say. Listen to the Mormon Jesus says this. Jesus was the bridegroom at the marriage of Cana. We read that to you before. We say it was Jesus Christ who was married to be brought into relationship whereby he could see his seed. Mm-hmm. There was a marriage in the Cana of Galilee on a careful reading of that transaction. We talked about that. The grand reason of the burst of public sentiment, we talked about that too, so I won't read that again to you, was basically they said that Jesus was persecuted for polygamy. That's why he went to the cross, was because he was a polygamist. Okay? That's what happened. Yep. He was a polygamist, and that's why it would happen. Finally, in March 17, 1963, a letter to President Joseph Fielding Smith asked the then-living prophet the direct question. In a discussion recently, the question arose, was Christ married? The quote, Isaiah 53:10, was given, which reads, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." What is meant by, "he shall see his seed"? Does this mean that Christ had children? In the temple ceremony, we are told that only through temple marriage can we receive the highest degree of exaltation and dwell in the presence of our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Christ came here to set us an example, therefore. We believe that he must have been married. Are we right? President Smith answered in his own hand on the page, marking the word seed, the first paragraph. So what do they believe? Well, they believe that Jesus came here and was married to a few different women. He wasn't happy with just one. He had to marry a few. Then he had, three or four wives, and he just ran around with them, and they were fondling him all day, and a train of women. That's the Jesus that they believe in. All right, listen to this. Nevertheless, Jedediah M. Grant, second counselor to Brigham Young, stated in 1853... that a belief in the doctrine of plurality of wives caused the persecution of Jesus and his followers? We might almost think they're Mormons, he said. Grant implies Jesus was persecuted and crucified because he had so many wives, including Elizabeth. He possibly refers to the wife of Zacharias, Mary, and a host of others. If Jesus was married to another man's wife, of course, that would be adultery. Anyway, so there's a lot of, we could go on and on with that. For sure. Let me read you something from the Da Vinci Code, though, and I'm going to read it to you because you're going to see that this the Jesus of Mormonism is the one of the Da Vinci Code. It's the same occultic, esoteric, false bloodline, so to speak, seed Christ that Da Vinci pushed. Da Vinci got his stuff from the Gnostic Gospels, basically, which, by the way, were Coptic. They weren't even written at the same time. They weren't even written at the same time, and you can tell by the language because it's Coptic. You can tell that it's not from there. And any honest, even an unhonest James White Bible scholar would know that. Yeah, exactly. They say this: the marriage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene is part of the historical record. Moreover, Jesus as a married man makes infinitely more sense than our standard biblical view of Jesus as a bachelor. If Jesus were not married, at least one of the Bible Gospels would have mentioned it and offered some explanation for his unnatural state of bachelorhood. The Da Vinci Code, page 245. Right. Yeah. Behold, the greatest cover-up in human history. Not only was Jesus Christ married, but he was a father. My dear Mary Magdalene was the holy vessel. She was the chalice that bore the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the original feminist. He intended for the future of his church to be in the hands of Mary Magdalene. Really? Is that why he didn't ordain any women? Ever? And neither did Paul? Actually, did they forbid women from the office? Well, maybe so, because this is what he says. The church, in order to defend itself against the Magdalene's power, perpetuated her image as a whore and buried evidence of Christ's marriage to her, thereby diffusing any potential claims that Christ had a surviving bloodline and was a mortal prophet. So what happened? You see, the esoteric cults represent Jesus as this married man with wives. Why do Mormons believe the same thing that Dan Brown believes in the Coptic and the Gnostic Gospels push? Why do the Mormons believe the same thing? Well, for a few reasons. They believe Jesus is a polygamist because they really are very carnal people, and they love fornication. And they're obsessed with making spiritual babies and forever going and I guess, populating new planets, right? And going to new planets, and we'll talk about Kolob sometime, but right? This is a newer one, but now the authors of a new book, The Lost Gospel, claim to have unearthed evidence of a manuscript which tells the story of Jesus' two sons and his marriage to Mary, one of his closest followers, who was at his crucifixion, burial, and the discovery of his empty tomb. Of course, there have been various discoveries of new gospels over the years, and allegations about a romantic relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene have persisted for centuries. It is based on a manuscript found in a British library dating back 1,450 years. So, yeah, by the Vatican, that's right. So, now what do we have here? Well, we have a Jesus, first of all, that wasn't virgin born. And then we have a Jesus that was what? That was a married polygamist that had children. Now, can you find either one of those things in the Bible? No, you can't. So what happens? Well, we know that they serve somebody other than the Christ of the Bible. Antichrist. That's who it is. All right, number three, and I got to hurry. The Mormon Jesus is the brother of Satan or Lucifer. Okay? They believe that the Mormon Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, Satan. Indeed, Mormon theology holds that Jesus Christ is even the spirit brother of Satan himself. Since Satan and his demons were also pre-existent spirit creations of Elohim and his celestial wife, Satan is therefore Christ's brother as well. In fact, the devil and all the demons are the spirit brothers of everyone on earth, they believe. By the way, I'm going to back this up with some more here in a second, so I got to keep reading. In other words, Christ, the devil, and all of us are literally brothers. Yeah, we don't get along. Jess L. Christian, and director of the LDS Institute of Religion at Utah State University in Logan, Utah, writes in A Sure Foundation, and I quote, "But both the scriptures and the prophets affirm that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are indeed offsprings of our Heavenly Father and therefore spirit brothers. Jesus was Lucifer's older brother. Thus, one Mormon writer concludes, as for the devil and his fellow spirits, they are brothers to man and also to Jesus and the sons and daughters to God in the same sense that we are. In essence, then, according to Mormon theology, the difference between Christ and the devil is not really one of a kind, but only one of degree." I'm going to obviously prove that wrong with Scripture in a minute here. Let's see. McConkie says this: "They may claim to exalt him, for as McConkie says, he shall reign to all eternity as King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. But what is often not understood is that the literal millions of other people will likewise reign. For as Brigham Young emphasized, all men are King of kings and Lord of lords in embryo." Yeah, weird, huh? Yep. Well, what do you think? Sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? So Jesus, the Jesus of Mormonism, his brother, is Lucifer, Satan. Let's see. Let me see here. Number 27 here. Okay, I'll read this to you here quickly. Number 2. Of Lucifer, who instituted the rebellion and thereby became Satan, God said, he came before me saying, behold, here am I. Send me. I will be thy son, and I will redeem all mankind, that one soul shall not be lost, and surely I will do it. Wherefore, give me thine honor. But behold, my beloved son, which is my beloved and chosen from the beginning, said unto me, Father, thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever. Wherefore, because that Satan rebelled against me and sought to destroy the agency of man, which I, the Lord God, had given him, and also that I should give unto him mine own power by the power of mine only begotten, I caused that he should be cast down. And he became Satan, yea, even the devil, the father of all lies, to deceive and to blind men, and to lead them captive at his will, even as many as would not hearken unto my voice. So, this is from Mormonvoice.com as well. Mormons believe that Satan was also one of God's children. He was once a great angel who rebelled against our Heavenly Father and was thrown out of God's presence with all spirits who followed him. He is now our adversary, the father of lies. He tempts all humanity to sin and turn against our Heavenly Father and Jesus. He has essentially renounced and abandoned his rights as a child of God and as our spiritual brother. Do you ever find that in Scripture anywhere? No, I'll show you what you find in a minute here. He has left the family, so to speak. So he left the family. Mormons believe God created all things, he says. We are his children. Jesus and Satan were both sons of God in the beginning. And thus it is technically correct that Mormons believe Jesus and Satan once were brothers in that sense. However, Jesus chose to honor and glorify his Father, while Satan chose to rebel against and dishonor him. Jesus and Satan are polar opposites. Literally as different as any two individuals can possibly be. Number one, no, they are not polar opposites. They never could be. That's Masonic esoteric teaching, that Jesus and Satan are polar opposites like good and evil. No, they're not. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 1. Turn there in your Bible, please. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to show you this here. I might even get this done if I keep moving. In time. We'll see. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Look at this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Whose person? God's. You see that? And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance, look at this, wait a minute, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What does that mean? Made. What does that mean? His incarnation. Coming here. Okay? But I want you to read this, because he said that they are both sons of God, right? He said they are both the Son of God. They are both brothers. Look what the Bible says here. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?
Right.
He only said it to one. Because he only has one begotten son. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Angels aren't the same as you. Now, they were called the sons of God, lowercase, in the Old Testament, because they were created by God. But they were not equal with Christ, because what did he say? Again, he said, when he breaketh in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Why? Because he's God. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers flame of fire? But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Look, wait a minute, go back. But unto the Son, he saith what? Unto the Son, which is Jesus Christ, he saith what? Thy throne, O God.
Amen.
is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. It doesn't say a God. It says thy throne, O God,
Amen.
Is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And by the way, no, we are not all sons of God. Mormonism teaches that all men are sons of God and daughters of God. No, they're not.
Nope.
The Bible says you're only a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have to be made a son of God through the power of the Holy Ghost, through regeneration, through faith and repentance in Christ. That's right. You're begotten by the gospel. You're adopted into the family of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no other way. You're not born that way. Number four? Thank you. Number four. The Mormon Jesus is not divine, but was created. The Mormon Jesus was created. He was not divine. And they don't speak of his incarnation. They don't believe of him as his coming, as begotten into the world. They are saying that he's a created being. John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And again in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So, we're going to read what they actually believe here. I'm going to turn to page 132 in this book here, and I'm going to read you exactly what they believe. Mormonism maintains it believes and teaches the true deity of Jesus Christ. However, although it is correct that Mormons believe that Christ is a God, they do not in any sense accept Christ's deity according to Christian or biblical orthodox teaching. For example, Mormons teach that A, Christ is a created being, and that B, Christ is a common God, lowercase g, who is not unique in essence, but primarily in mission, in his function and priority. Christ is Satan's brother. We talked about that already. Mormonism teaches that Christ is a created being. Let's see. This is from the Mormon theologian Bruce McConkie. He was an apologist for them. I mean, he was a very popular writer for them. From the time of their spirit birth, the Father's pre-existent offspring were endowed with agency and subjected to the provisions of the laws ordained for their government. They had the power to obey or disobey and to progress in one field or another. The pre-existent life was thus a long period, undoubtedly an infinitely long one, of probation, progression, and schooling. Christ, the firstborn, was the mightiest of all the spirit children of the Father. What was he saying? He was saying Christ earned godhood. He wasn't God. He earned a godhood status, but he wasn't the Son of God. He's not equal. He's not in the Trinity. He's not part of that. What is he? He was a God. Right. We're going to talk about that on Sunday. Yep. Adam, their heavenly father. Right. We'll talk about that Sunday. Mormons also claim that Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Thus, whenever the Bible refers to Jehovah for Mormons, it refers to Jesus Christ in his pre-existent state. Christians, on the other hand, teach this term refers to God. Mormon author James Talmadge explains in his Articles of Faith, among the spirit children of Elohim, the firstborn was and is Jehovah, or Jesus Christ, to whom all others are juniors. Mormonism teaches that Jesus Christ is a common God and of minor importance in the larger Mormon cosmology. To them, the essence of Christ is no different than the essence of any spirit child of Elohim, whether of men or Satan and his demons. Every person on earth has the same nature and essence as Jesus Christ and as they. Although Christ performed better than others in pre-existence, he is nevertheless of one nature with all men. Thus, Mormons universally refer to him as their elder brother. His divinity is not unique, for every exalted man will attain a similar godhood. See, they believe that you and I will attain to godhood. If we follow this and we do this, that we will attain to that godhood. That's what they believe. So they don't believe there's anything special about Jesus. That's Satan's old lie in the garden. Right? Same old lie. Christ is also not unique as a creator of this earth, because Mormonism teaches that Adam, Joseph Smith, and others helped him to create it. Christ was aided by many of the noble and great spirit children of the Father, Adam, Noah, and Joseph Smith. See that? That's the Christ they serve. That's the one they believe in. But in basic nature, he was no different from any of us, Mormon leader Milton Hunter, a member of the First Council of 70, asserted. Jesus is man's spiritual brother. We dwelt with him in the spirit world as members of that large society of eternal intelligences, which included our heavenly parents. Mormon authority James Talmadge explains this. Human beings generally were similarly existent in spirit state prior to their embodiment of the flesh. There is not impropriety, therefore, in speaking of Jesus Christ as the elder brother of the rest of humankind. Mm-hmm. See, that's what they believe. Mormon theology holds that Jesus Christ is even the spirit brother of Satan himself. We talked about that, so I won't go any further into that. But let's see, there was another thing I wanted to read here real quick, and we're almost done, actually, with this study for tonight. Oh, here, I want to read you this, too. Let's see. President Joseph Fielding Smith said this, "The Savior did not have a fullness of deity at first, but after he received his body in the resurrection, all power was given unto him both in heaven and in earth. Although he was a God, even the Son of God, with power and authority to create this earth and other earths, yet there were some things lacking in which he did not receive until after his resurrection." In other words, he had not received the fullness until he got a resurrected body. So he could create the worlds and do all kinds of, but there were some things that they were way beyond him. Because he hadn't attained to that deity yet. Thus, even though, according to the current president and prophet Ezra Taft Benson at the time, said this, Jesus was a God in the pre-mortal existence. He was still imperfect and lacking certain necessary things. Bruce McConkie taught, these laws of salvation instituted by the Father constitute the gospel of God, which gospel is the plan by which all of his spirit children, Christ included, may gain eternal life. So Christ had to gain eternal life. Sound like the Jesus of the Bible? No. Listen to this. How about this one? McConkie also stated this, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to earth to work out his own salvation. And that by obedience and devotion to the truth, he attained the pinnacle of intelligence, which ranked him as a God. He acquired the pinnacle of intelligence. What does this sound like to you? Does it not sound like the esoteric teaching of the Masonic Order and all those others? That they're going to rise up to Godhood, rise up through the levels to Godhood. Because they're teaching the same thing. I'm teaching the exact same thing. Listen, folks, we got to wake up and understand that when people say things and they talk about Jesus, they talk about, you got to find out, well, what do you mean by that? It's like you can't even, when you ask somebody if they're saved, ask them to give you your testimony. Don't ask them if they're saved. What's your testimony? Because you ask them if they're saved, man, they'll tell you all kinds. Everybody will tell you they're saved. Right. What do you save from? And who is, and do you even know who Jesus is? These people have no idea who the biblical Jesus is. See here. And that by obedience and devotion to the truth, he attained the pinnacle of intelligence. By the way, who's looking for the pinnacle of intelligence? Ye shall be as gods. That's what Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, that you'll be as gods. You'll know everything. Man, you'll know good and evil. You'll know everything. You'll reach the pinnacle of knowledge, right? Pinnacle of knowledge. Won't you? Right. You'll attain to that special knowledge. Yeah, that gnosis, right, that we've all been looking for to gain godhood without God. Jesus, they're saying, had to do that too. A Mormon publicity booklet, What the Mormons Think of Christ, asserts that Christ, the Word, the firstborn, had of course attained under the status of godhood while yet in pre-existence. Remember, this was an intermediate period of time that involved endless eons. If Christ learned to choose good over evil by experience and attain perfection by probation, progression, and schooling, it is difficult indeed to logically conceive of Christ as being perfectly sinless throughout the entire period of his probation and preexistence. What are you saying? Well, it's virtually impossible for him to be God, that's why. How does God have to earn godhood? Because man is their God. That's what the deal is, okay? And you're going to find that out when we talk about that on Sunday. Man is really their God. That's the Father they're speaking of, is a man just like them. That's who it is. So the difference is in this. Oh, by the way, I want to read you one more thing here. When Mormons refer to Christ as eternal, many Christians assume this to be an affirmation of Christ's deity. But this is only another illustration of Mormon equivocation. Mormonism does not accept that Jesus is eternal as the second person of the Godhead, which is Christian teaching. The only sense in which Jesus is eternal is according to their vague doctrine of spirit intelligence. Mormonism believes that all life existed eternally as some type of seemingly undifferentiated mass of incorporeal intelligence. Human life apparently passes through at least four stages. This is what they believe when they say God, when they say Jesus is eternal. This is what they're saying. They're not talking about what you say, what the Bible says. Number one, as vague, life passes through different stages. One is vague, undefined, uncreated, eternal, existing intelligence. Number two, as spirit children in the premortal spirit world, having been mysteriously remodeled by means of the physical sexual intercourse of God and of one of his wives, we then enter a lengthy period of probation, schooling, and progression, which determines the nature and quality of our life on earth. Being born into a Mormon family is a reward for attained excellence in preexistence. See, so it's your preexistence. So you aren't Mormons because you didn't. Something didn't happen in your preexistence. You weren't one of the select. How do you like that? You got stuck being a Baptist. What happened to you? Brother Paul, I don't know what you were doing there in your preexistence, but... yeah. Number three, as earthly beings, where we inhabit physical bodies, and if we are good Mormons, have the opportunity to earn exaltation, attain godhood. And number four, as resurrected beings in post-mortem states of various degrees of glory determined by our achievement on earth, the celestial, terrestrial, and telestial kingdoms. So Christ must have existed then in some nebulous form before his spirit birth, probation, and schooling, and his subsequent fleshly life on earth. The Mormon scripture, Doctrine and Covenants, teaches that man was also in the beginning with God. Intelligence or the light of truth was not created or made, neither indeed can be. Thus, just as the material elements are eternal, so spirit element, that is, the intelligence of spirits always existed. The intelligence of spirits had no beginning. So what do they believe? Well, McConkie, he says this, spirit entities such as in their organized form as the offspring of deity have not existed as long as God has, for he is their father, and he beget them as spirits. Thus, there are two principles. Number one, that man was also in the beginning with God, meaning that the spirits of men were created, begotten, and organized, and that they came into being as spirits at the time of their spiritual birth. And that intelligence or the light of truth was not created or made, neither indeed can be. Meaning that spirit element, the intelligence of spirits, the substance from which they were created as entities, has always existed and is as eternal as God himself. So what are they saying basically? They don't believe in the second person of the Godhead. They believe Christ was some nebulous, unformed spirit element who came into existence as a pre-existent spirit by intercourse of pagan gods. That's pretty much what they believe, okay? That's where they're at with it. So you have to compare the two. Is that the Christ of the Bible? No. So when they say Jesus, do you understand when you're dealing with people like this that you've got to deprogram them of all of that stuff before you can explain to them who Jesus is? Now let me tell you what foolish fundamentalists do. Okay? Let me help you with something. They knock on their door And if they got somebody that used to be in Mormonism, they say, well, hey, you don't want to go to hell, do you? You know, Christ died for your sins. They go through the Romans road with them. And they say, well, you know who Jesus is, right? Yeah, I know who Jesus is. Now, you want Jesus to save your soul, right? You want to go to heaven, don't you? You want to be forgiven of your sins and everything? You want Jesus? Well, sure. Well, what Jesus are they accepting? And what they do is they run them through prayers, or they run people through prayers, right? How about this? They run people through prayers, pronounce them saved, and they're sealed for all of eternity. And the Mormons come by and give them a bunch of literature and say, yeah, you want to learn about Jesus? We'll teach you about Jesus. And they teach them about that Jesus. You see why you got to know what you're talking about, and you got to understand what these people, where these people are coming from when you deal with them? You got to understand what they believe and where they're coming from, so you can show them who the true Jesus of the Bible is. Because when you say Jesus, Glenn Beck doesn't think of the same Jesus you're thinking of. Okay? And that shifty, wicked devil, Kirk Cameron, that runs around with him and promotes movies with him and says everything else and treats him like he's a Christian. Because neither one of them probably are in the first place. I know Glenn Beck isn't, and I don't think Kirk Cameron is either. Because you can run around and say it's a good day for the gospel when he went on the Glenn Beck show. How is that a good day for the gospel? Which gospel? Which gospel, Kirk? Which? Which one? Which one? The one that Joseph Smith received from an angel? That the Bible said if an angel, or if any other man or an angel come and bring you any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. That one? Which Jesus, Kirk? Which one does your friend Glenn Beck believe? He believes in the Jesus of Mormonism, the one that's in the Da Vinci Code, the one that's found there, the one that had children, the one that was a polygamist, the one that was a pimp, that had many women, that ran around and let women fondle him all the time. Right? I can see the title, The Jesus of Mormonism, a big pimp. But, well, he's not the Jesus of the Bible, is he? He's not Jesus Christ. He's not the living Son of God. He's not the risen Lord and Savior. He's not the great I Am, is he? No, who is he? Well, he's the Antichrist. He's the man after the flesh. He's the man after sin. So why didn't Jesus have any wives? Well, he came not for his own will, he came for his Father's. He didn't come here to stay, he came here to die. Amen. He came here to give his life a ransom for the souls of men. He came to shed his blood on Calvary. That's why he came. He didn't come to please himself. He came to give his life. And he came to defeat sin. Amen. And he rose again from the dead. And he's not the Jesus of Mormonism. They don't have the same God you do. They don't have the same Christ you do. And Sunday, Lord willing, if that's the way the direction God leads me, you'll find out they don't have the same Father you do either. They have a whole different idea of who the Father is. Mm-hmm. But all of it you'll find in Gnostic teachings. All of it. And why hasn't anybody... Listen, I've been in fundamental churches for a while now. I've pastored here for 8 years almost. But I've never heard anybody really explain it. I mean, David Cloud has a ministry, wayoflife.org, that explains a lot of that. But why don't pastors teach on these things? Why aren't they being formed? Why aren't people being informed of these things and learning? I'll tell you why. Because it's tedious to go through some of this and you worry what people think. I don't care what you think. I want you to know something. I want you to be able to help somebody. I want you... Someday you're going to be on a street and you're going to see one of them pimple-faced elders that are 12 years old. And they're going to walk up to you. And I don't want them schooling you and making you look stupid because you can't explain anything to them. Like I've seen many times. Like we see many times before. Happens. I want you to be able to know how to answer them and give an answer to them. The Bible says to give an answer to them the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, what Jesus do they have? Call them on it. If you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, you believe in celestial underwear and planets like Kolob and spiritual babies and all kinds of weird stuff. Your founder was a Masonic wicked witch and astrological witch. You got to have some facts and prove it to them. Why'd your founder carry around a talisman? What was he doing that for? Why did he have many wives? Why did he take men's wives? Still looking for them golden plates, too. Mm-hmm. Why were all the founders into necromancy? Why do they talk to spirits? Why do all your elders and apostles and whoever you else you know there, why do they talk to spirits? Think about it. Explain it. Challenge them on it. Make them think. Amen? Father, Lord, we thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Help us to live them, Lord. Thank you, Father, for plain instruction of who Jesus Christ is of the Bible. And Lord, may that other Christ that is preached, that other Jesus, be accursed. And may that other false Mormon gospel be accursed. And Lord, may you use this to reach out to people that some will hear it. And if they're stuck or they're bordering on Mormonism or they're stuck in it, Lord, they may hear this and hear the other messages on Mormonism and come out from among them and be saved by the grace of Almighty God. And Lord, have their sins forgiven and be on the right side, which is Jesus' side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.